Okay, Shalom Aleichem and welcome back. We are learning now a new series in Nach. So we're starting a new series which is going to be focused around the topic of the years of prosperity. So up till now we've learned already essentially three separate units when it came to Sefer Melachim Aleph. We learned the transition of power, the moment of transition between David HaMelech and Shlomo, that was the first unit. We looked at the development of Shlomo as a king. That was the second unit. And we looked at the making of the Mikdash, which was really the next step in building the base of Mikdash and becoming the edifice as it is. We finished at the end of Perek Ches. And now we have a unit which now takes us from Perek Tes to Yud Aleph. These three prakim form a natural unit. And we're going to be following through in trying to understand how it is and the relevance of Shlomo HaMelech's kingdom in the years of prosperity. And one of the questions I'd like to start off with, because we ought to really think about this as we enter this moment in our history, is how good is prosperity for the nation of Israel? And you think, well, you know, we certainly don't want oppression, we certainly don't want difficulty, we certainly don't want prosecution or persecution, but at a certain point we have to ask ourselves, how well has the nation of Israel fared in history during the years of prosperity, and how well has it not fared during the years of prosperity? So let's take this as a case in point. We're going to learn through now what happens once Shlomo Melech has succeeded, once the dominion of Israel is united, is successful, is the trade, we'll call it portal of the Middle East and beyond. Let's try to get a sense of what Israel looks like at this moment in Tanakh and some of the conclusions we can draw from it. So let's start at the very beginning. What we're going to do is we're going to look through some of these very, very fascinating psukim. I'm going to share my screen from where we are right now. And this is going to be the first unit, essentially, of what I'm going to call the unit called the Years of Prosperity. Velachem Aleph, Perek Tes, to Perek Yud Aleph. We're going to try to cover half or three quarters of Perek Tes tonight. That's our goal. And the topic of this first step in this series is the part of the community of nations. Now Israel is a trade partner. Now Israel is a power to be reckoned with. We're going to see how that relates. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to look at the psukim, which are the first nine psukim. Again, as we learn, when we learn together, what we try to do is we try to look at units of psukim rather than looking at staccato pieces of information. We try to gain a sense of the picture. And the first step of this is Hashem's response to Shlomo HaMelech's prayer. Let's try to understand it in its own words, and let's understand it in context. We're told the following. I'm going to read the Pesukim. Everybody's welcome to look in. If you have a Tanakh, it's Perek Tes, Pasuk Aleph to Tes. If not, it's on the screen if you're in the Zoom room right now. When Shlomo HaMelech finished building the house of God, that's the temple, and the Beis HaMelech is his own palace, and all the different things that he delighted in making. And Hashem appears to him a second time, like he appeared to him in Givon. And Hashem said to him, Shamati es tefilascha ve'es tchinascha asher yischananta lefonai. I heard the prayer that you prayed in front of me, your supplications. Hikdashti es habayis hazeh asher bonisa. I have sanctified the house which you have made, losum shemi sham ad olam, to place my name there forever. Vayu einai v'libi sham kol yamim. My eyes and my heart will be there after for all days. Vata im telech lefonai kasher holach David avicha b'som levav u'yosher lasto eskuchol asher tzivisicha chukai v'mishpatai tishmor. If you're going to follow in my ways like David your father did, then I will establish his kisei mamlechtecha al Yisrael olam. Then your throne will be assured for all eternity. Kashe dibarte al David avicha lemor lo yikoreis lecha ish me'al kisei Yisrael. I'll thereby be fulfilling the promise I made to David your father that I will not cut off anybody from your throne forever. However, im shov teshuvun atoa atem uvenechem e'acharai, however, if you do not follow my statutes and laws, and you'll serve other gods or other powers in this world, I'll cut off Israel from the ground which I gave to them, Mibal Mal Panai. And the house that I sanctified, I will send from in front of my face. Yisrael, the Israel will be a byword. There will be a parable among the nations. And my house, this house will be Elyon, will be lofty. Call Oiver Alav Yisom Vesharoik. Anybody who comes by it will be astonished. They'll hiss, they'll whistle. V'amru Alme Oso Hashem Kocho L'Aretz Azois V'Labayis Azeh. How could Hashem do anything like this to this house? V'amru. And they will say, in response to this question, Al Asher Ozvu Es Hashem Elokehem Asher Otzi Es Avoisam Me'Eretz Mitzrayim. It was because they abandoned Hashem, their God, and they followed other powers. And they served these other powers. That's why Hashem brought all this evil upon them. So this is the speech. Now we have to understand the context of the speech for a moment. It sounds like Hashem is responding to Shlomo HaMelech, which makes a whole lot of sense, because for those who were with us last time, the last thing that we learned was Shlomo HaMelech's incredible speech at the completion of the Beis HaMikdash, and the bracha he gives to the people, to the nation of Israel, and the requests and supplications that the house should be long-lasting. It seemed that he had two requests: the house should be long-lasting and functional, and that he should be able to stay on the throne forever. And it sounds like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is answering all of his requests. Why then is this a separate perek? Which is not such a strong question, because the division of the chapters in Tanakh was not a Jewish institution. But nonetheless, it actually does fall naturally into this next section. And the reason is because, chronologically speaking, when was this prophecy given? Well, the Psukim tell us explicitly. We're told that it's given at the end of building the Beis Hashem, Beis HaMelech, at the end of building the house of Hashem and the house of the king. If we go back to the chronological development of the time frame of what was going on over here, we know that it took Shlomo HaMelech 13 years to build the, 7 years and 7.5 years to build the Beis HaMikdash, and 13 years to finish his palace, his own palace, the Ya'ar HaLevonon, the Forest of Lebanon, which was one of its names. Now, and of course, we saw the Mefarshim back then described how Shlomo HaMelech was slower when building his own palace, as an indicator that what really mattered to him was the Beis Hashem, was the house of Hashem. So when was this prophecy? This prophecy was upon the conclusion of both those structures, which means at the end of 20 years of construction. When was Shlomo HaMelech's prayer? It wasn't upon the completion of his palace. It was upon the completion of the Beis HaMikdash, which was 13 years prior. Which means, just to put things into context, Shlomo HaMelech made an incredibly heartfelt supplication upon seeing the Shekhinah descend to the house that he made. What a remarkable moment. He makes this incredible rendition, this public request of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it took 13 years to get the answer. Just to put things into context. You know, sometimes we feel, we reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we pray, and Hashem, I've been asking for this for so long, which means, in many cases, you know, occasionally when I remembered at the end of my davening, when I was not fully completely distracted, when things were terribly oppressive in my life, and then I remembered, you know, and I did that on and off for, you know, the span of 2 weeks. HaKadosh Baruch, I can't believe you're not answering me. Well, that's not exactly how it works, right? Some important conversations take years. And in fact, sometimes the dialogue requires a little bit of reframing. What Shlomo HaMelech is showing us over here, what Tanakh is showing us, is that Shlomo's request was in year 7 after building the Beis HaMikdash, and the response was in year 20. That's 13 years later, just to appreciate this. Another thing you see that's important and relevant in this conversation, again, this is all just putting together the chronological order here and putting together the picture. Where did this happen? We looked at the when. Where did this happen? We're told in Pasuk Beis, he appeared to him, Shenis by Givon. Now let's just appreciate that for a second. What does it mean, secondly, in Givon? There must have been a first time that he was appeared to in Givon. The answer is yes. When Shlomo HaMelech became king, after sorting out some of the unfinished business of his father, getting rid of a number of people and rewarding some others, after that, Shlomo HaMelech has this incredible prophecy in Givon. In fact, that's when he came to Givon, which was where the site of the old Mizbeach was. That's why he went to Givon, because that's where the Mishkan used to be. where the last frame of where the Mishkan used to be. There was no Beis HaMikdash at that time. He brought all these korbanos, and then he went to sleep and he had this dream. In the dream, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked Shlomo HaMelech, what is that you wish for? Shlomo HaMelech then asked for Elev Shomea, a heart that can hear, and that's when he got his Chachma Shlomo. That was the beginning of his career. What Tanakh is saying essentially now, framing this again, is that this is the second explicit prophecy that Shlomo HaMelech has. There certainly were other prophets at the time, there's no question. But to him, a specific nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Shlomo HaMelech happened in the beginning of his career and happened at this point in his career. How much time elapsed between the two of them? Well, we know that it took at least 4 years to amass all the materials necessary for building the Beis HaMikdash. We know that from early on. And then the 7 years, and then the 13 years. Which means, the first prophecy that Shlomo HaMelech had with HaKadosh Baruch Hu was at the beginning of his career. 24 years later, mid-career, we'll call it, is when he has the second incandescent expression and appearance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Puts things in perspective. First of all, it was in Givon, the same place. And the way that the Rambam says in his in Mor HaNevuchim, is he describes that people will spend their lives, people who want to have the experience of prophecy will spend their entire lives preparing themselves, readying themselves, advancing their own personal, emotional, spiritual makeup with the hope that they should have a conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it says, for some people, that experience happens maybe once in a lifetime. For some people, it's unabated, it continues. For Shlomo HaMelech, the Tanakh is telling us that he had two crucial conversations with HaKadosh Baruch Hu at this point. One is the beginning of his career, and one is at this crucial moment as he finishes all this construction. I think that one of the perspectives that we gain, this is, by the way, we've not looked at any Mefarshim now. This is just looking at Pesukim without even going any further. One of the perspectives we gain when learning Tanakh in this, from this way is just the idea of patience. You know, we are so used to an instant world. You know, I don't understand. Why is Amazon Prime not delivering tomorrow? Why is my bicycle not essential? I don't understand it. It isn't arriving. Well, Hashem doesn't work like Amazon Prime. It's not an easy one-click confirm when it comes to tefillah. That's not how it works. It's a much more slow process. It's a much more real process. It's a process of a relationship. Think about if any important relationship that we have in our lives. You think it happened overnight, click, buy here, and that's how it worked? That's not how it worked. Kenei l'chachaver, the Mishnah Ovah says, why is it kenei l'chachaver? Rabbeinu Yonah says, because kenei means to say invest. In order, any relationship, you need to invest. When Shlomo HaMelech and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he had two moments of relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu where Hashem explicitly spoke to him. Yes, he knew. He saw the Shekhinah come down 13 years earlier. But Hashem didn't respond to his tefillah, even though he made a public tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Only it was now that he had this response. Just to put things into perspective. We see a few interesting insights over here as well. First of all, how is it? It's just fascinating. At this point in time, Shlomo HaMelech is very successful. He has his palace, he has the Beis HaMikdash, he is really at the, you know, one of the strongest points in his career. And you can imagine now that maybe that's why Hashem waited to this point, to give him the reminder that everything is dependent. It's contingent upon your lifestyle. Nothing is a given. Don't think that you've made it and therefore you've made it. It's now contingent. What happens if he doesn't listen? So we saw the Psukim. We saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll destroy you from the land. But how does that work? What's the mechanics of that? If we don't listen, then what happens? So interestingly, the Malbim explains a very, I would say, harrowing description over here. He says, "V'zabayis ha-shalach me'alponai, the house I will send from in front of my face." Meaning, if you're not going to listen to me, I'm going to take the house from in front of me. Rotzel omar, says the Malbim, what this means to say, "Shaloi tiyashka chasi alav, umimela timseeno oisom ro'ois rabois atzorois, bein Yisrael, bein Yisrael shiyu l'moshol uben babayis." So what the Malbim says, and this is such a powerful concept in general, and the Malbim talks about this at great depth across this Pirush across Nach, is the notion of Ashkacha Pratis, of Hashem's specific divine providence. And that is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides that based on our actions we don't want Him in our lives, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, thank you very much, I'll extract myself from the lives that you already ejected me from. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will now no longer be directly involved, He's not going to be micromanaging the future of the nation of Israel, whether it be nationalistically or individually, at that point in time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will now be absent. Does that mean to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish us specifically? Well, the first step is not that, says the Malbim. The first step is that into the vacuum, into the shadow of the lack of the exact and what's called Hashkacha Pratis, in just the Hashkacha Klalis of the situation, into such voids, always there is power that comes. Always there's negativity which approaches. Don't think that any void in the world ever remains a void for long. Because into that come forces. And many of those forces that seek voids are negative forces. So what the Malbim says is that I'm going to remove my face. The moment I remove my face into that shadow is where danger lurks. That's why we say in the end of davening, we say it in Sim Shalom, yeah, that we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that turn Or Panecha towards us, the light of your face, Kiva Or Panecha Nosadolano, because you gave us all these wonderful things in the light of your face. It's when your face is not there, that's when danger turns. Now, to me, one of the astonishing aspects of this whole narrative over here is that here we're at the beginning of the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash at this point in time is 13 years old. Shlomo HaMelech has just finished his palace. At this point, give the man a break. Why are we talking about if you don't and then it'll be destroyed and you'll be got nigleh from the land? Why do we always have to put, you know, have this negative overlay? Why do we need to have this shadow to it? Why can't we just enjoy it for a moment? And the answer is that ironically, how everlasting is this? The Medrash, there's a very famous Medrash Tanchuma, which appears in reference to these psukim. It's interesting, actually. I found it by myself, and then I was just looking through the Arba Barnel before we started learning this evening, and he quotes the same Medrash, remarkable Medrash, just what he says about the perspective of what Shlomo HaMelech is being told at this critical moment in the nation of Israel's history. Omer b'Shmuel bar Nachmon, ad shelechorav beis hamikdash, until the beis hamikdash was not destroyed, hoysa ashchina nesuna b'heichal. Where was the divine presence to be found? In the temple. Shenemar Hashem b'heichal kodshoi. Hashem was in his holy temple. Mishecharav beis hamikdash. Hashem Hashem b'meisim kisoi. Silek shchinas ala shamayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, his shchina left the seat over here in this world, in the terrestrial world, and went into the celestial world. Omer Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas. Bein charav v'bein lo charav. Ein hashchina zozomim koimam. So Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas disagrees with Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman. No, it's not that during the time of what we'll call Migdash, Hashem is imminent, and then Hashem is no longer imminent after destruction. No, Hashem never moves. Shenema Hashem echal kodshoy minayin, shenema v'oyo eina v'libi sham kol hayamim. My eyes and my heart will be there all the days. Our pasuk in the brach of Hashem. V'cheinu oimer, koy li la Hashem ekrov ve'aneinu mihar kodshoy sela. The Tehillim says in Mizmor Gimel, I call out to Hashem and He answers me from the Har Kodshoy, from the Temple Mount. Shafilo Har Harihu, even if all it is just a mountain, it's still my mountain. The Temple Mount is still the gateway of our Tefillah. Omer Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas. Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas went further. He extended his statement to say, Ramak Ksiv. By even as Beis Hashem Elokei Yisrael Hu Elokim Hashem Yerushalayim, that they when they built the second Beis Hamikdash in Sefer Ezra, Ein Ozaz Misham, Amar Rebbe Achol LaOlam, Ein Ashkin Ozaz Mikosel Maravi Shal Beis Hamikdash Shenemar Hinei Ze Omer Achar Kosleinu Havi Hashem Beheichal Kodshoy. Because Medrash already over here is talking about the Kosel Hamaravi, the Western Wall, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never leave His presence even then, even from behind that. What a remarkable perspective, just understanding the perspective of the Midrash is saying is, yes, it is true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, and if you misbehave yourselves, if you don't live up to your end of the bargain, and I'll give you many, many chances, but if you don't live up to your end of the bargain, not that I will leave, but the Heichal will be destroyed, but I will still be there, I will still be present, which is why we, till this moment and day, still turn to the Harabais wherever we daven. Just very, very fascinating, very, very beautiful perspective, although a very sad perspective. And I think that's Shlomo HaMelech himself captures this in one of the Mizmorim and Tehillim that it was either said by him or for him. And this is what it is. You could imagine this could be David HaMelech said to Shlomo, could be Shlomo HaMelech saying it, but the sentiment remains the same. And that is in the Mizmor Kuf Chof Zayin, Shir HaMa'alois Li Shlomo. This is a song of ascent for Shlomo. There are a number of them which are not just to David. Im Hashem lo yivne bayis, shav amnu voinav boy. If Hashem won't build a house, then for naught did those who build raise their hammer. Im Hashem lo yishmar ir, shav shakod shamer. If Hashem does not guard a city, then for naught is the watchman waiting. Which means to say that ultimately the realization of all of this, after all is said and done, the Beis HaMikdash is built, success has been attained, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reminds him. Let me get this right with you. If you want to be successful, you need to understand what's really behind this. And if you don't realize that, I will simply remove myself. I will no longer allow this to stand, and it will be destroyed in the vacuum of my presence. That's the lesson which is being taught over here. We human beings are very into edifices. We're into artifacts. We're into rituals. We're into segulos. We're into all kinds of tangible expressions of the divine. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, unfortunately, it's not that easy. It's much easier just to buy a talisman. It's much easier to make a temple. It's much easier to finish paying the mortgage on the Beis Hamikdash. Much easier. Doesn't work like that. It's about your relationship with me that is dependent. And if that relationship isn't there, goodbye and good luck. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying ultimately over here. So there's no easy way out. You never check the checkbox. Relationship with Hashem, good. That means to say that it's a constant process. It's a process of ascent, always. We move on to the next step of our parak. Now the conversation turns into international relations. We're going to look at the next four psukim. These psukim are parak tes, psukim yud to yud gimel. And here we now reach back to our friend in the north, Hiram. Vayhi mikseya srim shana shebana shlomo es beis shtei abotim. Es beis Hashem, es beis HaMelech. After these years, and he finished these 20 years of building both the Migdash and his palace, Hiram melech tzor nisa es shlomo ba'atzei arazim uva'atzei verosim uva'zohov lochochev tzoy az yitena melech shlomo lechiram esrim ir be'eretz ha'galil. After Hiram, the king of Tyre, had furnished Shlomo with all these incredible materials. He'd really furnished him with trading materials of wood, of gold, all kinds of things, different types of wood. I mean, there was the cedar and the cypress were both coming from Lebanon. Everything that Shlomo Melech did. So Shlomo Melech gave him 20 cities in the area of the Galil, of the Galilee. And offsets Hiram from Tzor, from Tyre, to go south to see the cities. He wasn't so happy with the deal. He says, what does that mean? These are the cities you gave me, my brother? He called this the land of Kabul until today. Just a few things to notice over here in this very fascinating interchange. First of all, for those who are first timers at this point in time in this section, who is Hiram? Where is Tsar? So Tsar is one of the greatest trading posts of the Mediterranean Sea at this point in time. Tyre today is found in Lebanon, just below the Litani River, as it meets the sea. It was part of the kingdom of Phoenicia. The Phoenicians, of course, were great traders. They controlled most of the trade routes of the Mediterranean. And Hiram, who was the king of Tyre, actually he deified himself, according to many. If we look into the annals of history, as we did a little while back, he believed he was part of his pantheon. But nonetheless, he had a very good and close relationship with Shlomo HaMelech. In fact, he had a good relationship with David HaMelech before him. And because that was the case, Shlomo HaMelech opened trade to the north, and Hiram was able to supply him with many of the necessary wares and many of the necessary materials to make the Beis HaMikdash. Of course, today, even today, as we know, if you look at the flag of Lebanon is two red lines. In the middle is a green tree. That tree is the cedar of Lebanon, right? Arzei Halavonan. That's because that is one of the predominant things. The cedars of Lebanon, their wood is one of their greatest assets and supplies. It's interesting that throughout history there was always an oscillation between the northern border of Israel. Certainly it is not where it is today. It was much further north. Israel went much further north than it is right now. But nonetheless, Tyre was the immediate neighbor on the north side of Israel. And that being the case, Hiram and Shlomo HaMelech had very good relationships. Now, what's interesting to note about this interaction over here is a few things. First of all, why is it 20 years that this happens? So Rashi explains, Esrim Shana, he says in source 4, Sheva Shanim Lebeis Hashem, Zois Uvei Soi Shloshe Zoi Shana, Kamoi Shama Lamala. So the 20 years, the reason why this whole relationship is being discussed now is because we had 7 years of building the Beis Hamikdash, 7.5 years, and 13 years of building his house. Now, there's no longer the need for supplies in the same way they were. Which is why they're now, in a certain sense, wrapping up their relations. They had a deal. They had a 20-year trade deal. Fantastic. Few questions to ask over here. And it seems like Shlomo HaMelech is paying him back by giving him cities, right? That's what we saw in Pasuk Yud Aleph. Az Yitenin Shlomo HaMelech v'Hiram Esrim Ir Be'eretz HaGalil. Gave 20 cities in Galilee. Now, wait a second. Does that sound like land for peace? How's that working exactly? Where did Shlomo HaMelech have the license to give away cities in the land of Israel? That's not something that just happens like this. We're not in wartime now. We're in peacetime. How in the world is Shlomo HaMelech giving away cities in Israel? Says the Ralbag. The Ralbag is also equally challenged by this question. He says, "Oizit Tana Melech Shlomo Lechiram Esrim Ir Bagalil." Says Kfar Nizka BeSefer Dirayamim. Says the Ralbag. No, you got to read Dirayamim. You got to read the parallel version of this, because there in Dirayamim, Kichiram Nasan Gamkein Lishlomo Ayaros Hoishim Bohem Es Bnei Yisrael V'Ra'ui Haya Liyos Kain Kilo Yitachel Melech Lamayit Eretz Yisrael. Says the Ralbag. It's very clear And if you read the Divrei HaYamim, that Hiram already presented him with 20 cities. All that Shlomo HaMelech did over here was settle Israelites in those cities and then return them. Which means they were essentially, they were Phoenician cities, they weren't Israelite cities. They had Israelites settling in them, whether it be for trade, whether it be for good relations, whatever it is. But it wasn't that he was giving up the boundary of Israel, because as he says, Lo yitachen lemelech lemayet Eretz Yisrael, even a king does not have the right to give away the land of Israel. That's the Ralbach says. There's no other way to explain it. I thought it would be helpful to actually look at those psukim that he's referencing in Divrei HaYamim, so I pulled them up over here. This is in Divrei HaYamim Beis, Perek Ches, Yupasuk Yehuda, and Aleph and Beis. Again, Divrei HaYamim is the Chronicles of Yehuda, and so therefore we see a lot of the parallel ideas over there, although somewhat differences. We'll see an example in just a moment. So it was after these 20 years of building his house and the temple. So Huram, or that's the other word for Hiram, gave these 20 cities to Shlomo. Shlomo built them up. And Israel dwelt there. Now, that sounds like the opposite description. In Sefer Melachim, it sounds like Shlomo Melech is giving Hiram these cities, and he puts his nose up at it. He says, why do I need these? In Divrei HaYamim, it sounds like Hiram was giving him the 20 cities. So the Ralbag synthesizes these two versions and says, yes, that's exactly the point. What was happened was is he gave him 20 cities to cultivate. Hiram from Tyre gave Shlomo 20 cities to cultivate. And Shlomo Melech was Moshe B'nai Yisrael in them and established them and cultivated them. And then ultimately he returned them. And it wasn't good enough. Perhaps one of the reasons Rav Yigal Ariel suggests over here that it could be that he was doing this is this is a way of paying back. Here I've sent you these incredible amount of supplies. So what you're going to do is, apparently in those days, even then the Israelites were great agricultural exporters, you're going to develop these cities and make them producing cities so that I'll be able to use them. That wasn't sufficient for him. Why is Hiram upset? Few options as to why he could be upset. One perspective over here is the Malbim. The Malbim says in the seventh source, "Vayikra lahem eretz kavul." Right? Elamai eretz chol she'ena oisa peiros. He's what's the word kavul? Kavul is not to be confused with Kabul in out there in the far east. It's kavul because it comes to the word chol. It comes to the word empty. They were not lands which produced fruits. And he gave him the lebechazara, and he returned the lands. He says, "No, thank you." So that this was in order to ensure future relations, and he didn't appreciate this. So instead, Shlomo Melech paid him back money directly. Those are the next two pesukim we'll take a look at. But in the meantime, that he did not feel that Shlomo Melech did a sufficient job. Another possibility as to what's going on over here is that there were 40 cities that are being talked about. Not 20 that were given and returned, but really 40. What's going on over here? Says the Radak. Misoif esrim shana shebona beis Hashem. After 20 years of building the Beis HaMikdash, b'sheva shanim beis shlosha esrei shana. 7 of the Beis HaMikdash and 13 of his own house. Hare esrim, there are 20. Ubibinyanim ha'ele, nosa v'siya chiram es shloma ba'atzei arazim v'atzei barosim v'zov v'gumul ratzo. We know that Chiram provided all these incredible means in order to build this. Uvigmul ze igmulu ha'melech shloma v'nosaloi esrim ir be'eretz ha'galil. He gave him 20 cities. V'lo yishru be'enav v'kronoin k'eretz kavul retzalama sagur. He called it a closed land shloha yu oivrim v'shavim sham migri'us ha'aretz. It was not good because of the badness of the earth. Nobody would pass through there. Uvdire chazal. But chazal said us eretz kavul eretz sha'ato oise peros. It's a land which ain't always a parents. Doesn't make fruit. V'Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar Eretz Chomtim Chumton Hoysa Pirush Eretz Chol. It was a desolate land. V'Amai Korile Eretz Kavul Dimishtaka A Karo B'Goyva Ki Kavlo Pirush Shiraglo Shalada Mishtaka Boy. It was sinking sand. It wasn't good land. Machmas Achol because of the sand. Ki Ilohem Kavulois Al Kain Ain't always a parents. U'Divrei HaYamim Omer. Now that he quotes the pesukim we saw in Divrei HaYamim, Ki Chiram Nosan Hashlama. Esrim ir be'artzoi. V'hoishu sham b'nei Yisrael v'chen haya. Ki Hiram nosan nishlamo esrim ir be'artzoi v'shlamo gamke nosan nechiram esrim ir be'eretz ha'galil. V'ze osu l'chazek habris b'neihem. V'zocho b'ze ha'sefe ma'she nosan nishlamo nechiram v'zocho b'divrei ha'yam ma'she nosan nechiram nishlamo. So the Radak says, look, I look at these two books. I look at Sefer Melachim and I look at Sefer Dirayamim. Sefer Melachim, it says that Shlomo Melech gave 20 cities to Hiram. In Dirayamim, it says that Hiram gave 20 cities to Shlomo Melech. So it wasn't, as the Rabag says, that it was a development project, that he gave it to him and it was returned. No, there was an exchange to show trust between the two countries. The one country gives 20 cities and the other country gives 20 cities. And the reason that Hiram gets upset is because he says, the cities that you gave me do not match the cities that I gave you. That's what's happening over here. So therefore, he's not being mamayit, he's not loosening the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. You can understand the upsetness of Hiram. We have to understand, we don't have a moment time to write now, but we have to understand and ask ourselves, so what happened? Why was it that David HaMelech, that Shlomo HaMelech, did not give him ultimately the cities that he wanted? And why was it that this relationship turned somewhat south, but nonetheless was still maintained? This concludes the first section. We have the opportunity of learning the next half of Perek Tes next week, and we get a sense of more of the complexity in the region, not in the north, but in the south, in the relationship with Egypt, of course, when it comes to the political alliances of the time. Thank you, everybody, very much for taking the time to come this evening.